This week's podcast is a telephone interview with Myron Crockett, a campus staff member in New Orleans. So look back 1 year later on the events and the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. I started out by asking about campus ministry just before Katrina arrived.
We were in the middle of freshman move-in at Tulane University, and we were just getting the semester started over there.
And this year, how different is it from what you were planning a year ago?
Well, this year has been a lot different, being that we have been seeing a lot of our, or at least some of our Tulane students, leave and transfer to some different campuses. Some of them in light of events that had happened due to Katrina, some of them just due to some other factors. UNO, we are rebuilding the campus as a result of Katrina, lost about 8,000 students, and that was down from approximately 17,000 students pre-Katrina. And so that drastically affected our chapter, and also graduations affected chapter as well. So we're basically re-pioneering our University of New Orleans ministry, and we are also pioneering Loyola University ministry.
And I think I read that there are some new staff coming in that are going to be helping you with this.
Yes, there's a student of mine named Herman Alb. He is a civil engineering major from Tulane University. He also just is recently wrapping up his master's work in civil engineering at Tulane, and he has felt a call from God to come on staff with InterVarsity. And so he is in the process. He's already been provisionally appointed, and now he's going to be coming on staff with us at Tulane.
So is there a sense like you're starting over?
Yeah, there is a sense of starting over, especially at University of New Orleans, which was just severely affected by the storm. Because of student demographics, there's a lot of students who are from the New Orleans and greater New Orleans area. As a result of that, you could imagine that there's a lot of students who lost everything or who have had to make radical adjustments because family members are now staying with them who lost everything. And as a result of that, there's just been a lot of people who have transferred or temporarily dropped out. And so because the campus has been so devastated, it's definitely affected the way we do ministry, and then it's affected our numbers. Tulane, we still have about 40 students who are a part of our chapter, but we graduated a big group this past spring. And then along with transfers, we've been hit pretty hard. But at the same time, there's a great spirit about the students there. They're really excited. This spring semester, we were able to put together some good evangelistic focus for the campus, and also kind of get our heads together about small group leadership. And so there's a sense in which we can really rebound and come back in a bigger way. We've already been rethinking the way we do ministry, and we're doing some kind of paradigm shifting. And I think that in a weird way, having to rethink so much during the spring semester because of the drastic effect Katrina had on us is actually opening up some good opportunities for us to do ministry in a different way and to see more people come to know the Lord, and also just be more integrally involved in campus activities and to really reach out to more people.
Could you talk a little bit more about doing ministry in a different way? What does that mean?
For instance, we have a chapel on Tulane's campus called Rogers Chapel, and Rogers Chapel was affected by the hurricane. A lot of it was damaged pretty heavily. And we, historically, Tulane InterVarsity, just for years and years, has always had their large group worship times in Rogers Chapel every week, and this has just been going on for years before I came on staff. In any event, because it was damaged, we suddenly had no other place to meet. And we were trying to pioneer Loyola University even before Katrina, and we began to meet at Loyola and began to really stretch our thinking in terms of how we could use the Tulane chapter in order to reach out to Loyola University, which is just across the street from Tulane. And that made us think differently, and it caused some logistical confusion, there's no doubt, and it was kind of like very hard growing pains with something so new and something that was kind of forced upon us due to what the damage the storm did. But at the same time, it really made us rethink, okay, what is the purpose of our worship times during the week? We had to rethink who we're reaching out to. Are we just a bunch of Christians that are meeting during our worship times? Could we be more effective in doing so? And the Lord really came through and blessed us with a new ability to think outside of the box as a result of the way in which God moved, even through all the logistical confusion concerning our large group time. We begin to broaden our thinking and begin to realize that maybe we need to meet in the middle of the week instead of the end of the week to reach out to more students who are Christian but yet who are more prone to hang out with their non-Christian friends at the end of the week, and then also to just to reach out to more non-Christians and to be able to provide an atmosphere where they will want to come to something like what we offer in the middle of the week. And so having that time to rethink things, being forced to rethink things, has actually caused us as a ministry at Tulane to have more faith in God and what God can do and to be able to break out of the way we've done things in the past.
And the move to the middle of the week then has worked well?
Well, this is going to be an experiment. We actually have just made the transition. School starts in a few weeks, so I can let you know then how it turns out. But we did, in the spring semester, we had to move our location, though we did not have to move our day. There was a second supplementary spring semester that was actually called Lanyap at Tulane. It was called Spring 2 at Loyola, and it was meant to make up for some time lost, especially for upperclassmen during Katrina. And during that time, we actually did have to move the day. We had to move it to Thursday, and God blessed us. I mean, we were scared. I was definitely scared as a staff member. Students were worried about what would happen and these kinds of things, but God really met us and blessed us in a really powerful way. And that got us thinking, you know what, we can afford to trust God and to rethink the way we did things. So we've just been in prayer over the summer and have really been challenged to, you know, think about things in a different way. And I think we could reach out to more students if we would transition to Wednesday. So I talked to my leadership, and they actually are very gung-ho about it. So we're moving to Wednesday instead of Fridays.
Mm. It would seem that the students that you're dealing with now who have been through the Katrina experience are not the typical students of other campuses in the country or New Orleans campuses pre-Katrina. They've been changed?
Students definitely have been changed. I know at University of New Orleans, because most of the students who go to University of New Orleans are from the New Orleans area or surrounding regions, they have just had a profound sense of loss. There's a sense of kind of shock and bewilderment. Even if students have all of their belongings intact and maybe were in areas that weren't as severely affected or affected at all, there's still a sense just of kind of a void, emptiness, and that's going on. And if you've even heard professors comment on it at UNO, and they've said, you know, students are here physically, but people are kind of vacant on the inside, and they can feel it, and these professors feel it themselves. So there's definitely that sense of things. Tulane is, there was kind of a sense of, well, we want to get things going, we want to get started again, because that university was not as deeply affected as University of New Orleans, even though it still was severely affected. But there was a sense of, hey, we want to get things started, we want to just put this behind us and get going again. But at the same time, that's matched with the reality of post-Katrina New Orleans. A lot of Tulane students are not from New Orleans or Louisiana. And as a result of that, there's kind of this weird feeling of dissonance where they're removed from it, but then they go to Tulane. So they have their feet in both worlds and are trying to figure out a balance between really acknowledging the pain of what's happened, but at the same time moving forward. That's been kind of a split personality, if you will, about Tulane students, and they've been going between both the past and the future and trying to figure out what to do. And
so you almost have to approach the students in two different ways depending on what their experiences have been.
Absolutely. Me and my wife were wiped out by the storm. We lost everything. And I'm also from New Orleans. Every area that I grew up in has been devastated. So I feel in the sense of loss, I identify more personally with a UNO student, and I'm also a UNO alumnus myself. And so I identify personally with UNO students. I've had to meet with students throughout the semester and just talk about loss and try to mourn with them in healthy ways, in addition to going through personal mourning myself because of the state of the city. But then in terms of wanting to move on from the future, personally, I found myself identifying with Tulane students and wanting to be able to branch off and to be able to not necessarily put it behind us because it's always going to be a part of us, but being able to use even this bad experience as a foundation for something good in the future, identify more with Tulane students. So I felt split myself in ministering to two kinds of students.
And you have been busy, I think, also dealing with an influx of students from other parts of the country who come on work projects and urban plunges and things like that. How's that gone?
Well, it was going very well. We ended on July 4th. We did a project called the Katrina Relief Urban Project here in New Orleans. We ran CRUP, as it's called, from November of last year through July 4th of 06. And we ran through 600 students from various chapters all around the country of InterVarsity students. I think we had representation from about 10 states around the country. And it was just a phenomenal project. It was very grueling because we don't have a lot of staff workers in what's called the Gulf South area of InterVarsity. In fact, there were four of us who were working on things between, you know, these 600 students and basically the better part of the year. And it was just logistically challenging, and some of it was exhausting, but definitely very rewarding. We ran students through. We worked with different agencies around town, places like School of Urban Mission, Trinity Christian Community. We worked most of our students through Edgewater Baptist Church, a number of them through First Baptist Church, and some through a ministry called Urban Impact. And we worked with these agencies to get houses to gut, houses that had just been obliterated by the storm. And students would come in for a week, gut houses, and at night we would do biblical teaching on race, justice, and poverty. And so that's what that entailed for the 600 students that came from November through July 4th.
So the InterVarsity approach may have been a little bit different than some of these other work crews that came with other organizations, in that you had the Bible study component that went along with it.
Oh, absolutely. For us, it really would have not been as much of an experience if students just came and did work teams. People have to learn about what's happening in the city. New Orleans is kind of a city that people like to know. It's a party city. It's also got a rich sense of history, especially European history with the Spanish and French heritage. And so it's known for really pretty houses, great European architecture, and then also as a party town. And if we didn't investigate with students the problems of race and poverty and justice here, it simply, in my mind, as a New Orleanian, would have been a travesty to not talk about the fact that 28% of people in the city pre-Katrina lived in poverty, to not talk about the fact that we have rich and poor, very poor, living right on top of each other, and that there are a number of people here in the city who live below twice the poverty threshold in our nation. And that we just had to go into those issues and to figure out what God's heart is and how students are going to be changed as a result of coming here. Because if they just come here and gut houses and then leave and go back to whatever they're used to, then people just kind of have this feel-good thing going on. But there has to be a challenge to how are we going to respond to God's heart for urban centers all around the country. And so we had students thinking about, what does God want you to do back in your own city? Cities you go to college in, or the cities that you come from, what does God want you to do? How does God cause you to see the poor? And what is He calling you to do? And how are you going to be Christ's hands and feet and fight for justice? It had to happen.
And could you see the students change over the period of a week?
Yeah, there were students who came in and they were already thinking about this, which is, I think, a tribute to InterVarsity on the whole. We, without question, cherish a lot of the ethos concerning race and poverty and justice in our organization nationally. There are many students who already started thinking about these things and already had a heart for these things. And during the course of the week, we furthered their thinking, stretched people's paradigms, and began to challenge folks to think about what was going on in their own cities. And there were students who I would talk to personally, even outside of our Bible study sessions, and they'd say, you know, I've already been been thinking about this, and God's been telling me that he wants me to move here, or he wants me to be involved in some kind of activism in this part of our city. And then there were other students, though, who, while they're part of any of our varsity chapters that stimulate this kind of thought, they came in wanting to think about these things because they admitted, hey, I've never thought about this before, and I know that God is passionate about issues of justice and the poor and equity. And so because I know that, I'm coming here because I want God to touch my heart. I want God to do something in my heart, and it caused me to think about this. And there were people who just had a profound time, and they really would talk to me and in Bible study times talk to each other and really wrestle with these issues. And it was really great to see that. And the students were just wonderful in being honest about where they were. And we tried to create a gracious atmosphere where people knew, hey, there are no superstars here. We're all on different stages in our journey concerning race and poverty and how we respond with the gospel. And so no matter where you are, you can say whatever you need to say. You can wrestle here, and no one's going to hear you out and make you feel bad or make you feel like you're not a good Christian or something like that. Let's just be honest and let God do his work.
Are these kind of urban plunges going to continue in the future? Is there still work to be done?
What's happening now is the entire city is in transition in reference to volunteerism, because there have been so many houses. There's just been hundreds of houses that have been gutted, not only with our group, but just other groups that have come in as well. And because of that, the city is now switching its focus from doing demolition work to now bringing in what they call skill sets. And those are people who are carpenters and who are builders of different kinds, basically people who do construction and who are able to build up instead of tear down. So that's been the new focus right now. So we don't have any plans in the immediate future to bring any more teams in, simply because college students typically do not, they don't fit into that description of skill set people. However, if in the future there's opportunity that arises for chapters to come down individually and to partner up with work that's being done, there's absolutely no problem with that. It's just that this kind of work that we're used to doing and that anybody could do is now kind of shrunk up, and now all the agencies that we've worked with are bringing in people who have specific skills, electricians, welders, carpenters, people like that, because now everyone's trying to focus on rebuilding.
Well, how about you personally? Have you had time for some rest and renewal and to get your affairs in order?
Well, actually, yeah, I just got some time for rest. My wife and I went to visit her family in Colorado, and we were there for 10 days. We actually just got back 2 days ago, and it was just entirely relaxing to be in an atmosphere that didn't involve demolition or didn't involve seeing houses obliterated or something like that, or didn't even involve the word Katrina. And it was really good to be able to be there with them, be in a whole different environment in the mountains and everything, literally kind of living among amber waves of grain and purple mountain majesties. Not used to seeing that, but our anthem kind of came alive hanging out in Colorado, so it was really good to get that kind of time.
Yeah.
And in desperate need of it.
What are you looking forward to now? What's your attitude as you go into this fall semester of 2006?
Well, fall semester is going to be really exciting. At Tulane University, for instance, the students have just responded so well to everything, to all the changes. They really rolled with the punches, and they've been a very resilient chapter. We have some new leadership that's coming in, and we've revamped our small group ministry in a very radical way, especially due to some new thinking that's been happening in the Southeast, specifically in the Florida division. And we've gotten some new influences and have been rethinking small groups, and so I'm really excited about that. And also at University of New Orleans, we're excited because we ended the semester, even though the semester was incredibly difficult at University of New Orleans, we ended the semester with being able to reach out evangelistically, specifically to two non-Christians who came to our chapter camp and are, you know, really seeking the Lord out. And they're actually kind of at the core of our chapter at UNO now. And we're looking forward to some new opportunities concerning evangelism and also small group leadership, because one of the agencies we partnered with Edgewater Baptist Church is just a five-minute drive away from University of New Orleans. I have a close personal friendship with the pastor of Edgewater Baptist Church, and they are allowing us to bring in volunteers from their church to InterVarsity to be able to help us out with evangelism and also small group leadership. And they've just been gracious and wonderful to us. And we're about to do a training session, actually, this coming Saturday for those volunteers. And many of them have already been involved in ministry before. So it's going to be really exciting to see what's going to happen. And we're just really positive and really thankful for God's grace in looking forward to this semester. And also, we are looking forward to pioneering opportunities at Loyola University as well.
And that sounds great. I think that covers all the questions I had, Myron. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure got mentioned?
Just that we, InterVarsity, would not have been able to pull off Katrina Relief Urban Project without the help of just all the chapters around the country that came and that just were really wonderful, not just about recruiting from their chapters. Many people recruited from their campuses, so there were a number of non-Christians who also were a part of CRUP, and they heard the gospel from a different standpoint, not just about individual salvation, which without question is true, but they also heard about how the cross and resurrection of Christ bear upon issues that activists who are religious and non-religious are concerned with. And we also would not have been able to do this without partnership with the agencies that I mentioned before. They were just key to this, and they were wonderful and gracious, and it was great to be able to work with them, both those we've already had relationships with and those who we were new to in terms of having a relationship with them.
Okay, very good. It's a delight to talk with you, and I appreciate having a chance to get into your schedule. It sounds like things are really flying as you're heading into the semester.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Thanks so much, Myron.
All right, thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.